Have you ever heard of a ghost outfit?
No, but I've come up with three different definitions of what that could possibly be.
Best guess. Go.
It's an outfit you wear when you don't want someone to notice that you're there.
Oh, that's a good guess, but no. A ghost outfit is the outfit that you die in and therefore wear when you come back as a ghost or for the rest of eternity wherever you end up.
If mine includes a bra, I'm going to be so pissed. I'm going to be so pissed if it's anything but pajamas.
Oh, my God. Okay, so a student brought this up today. And so we were talking about, it came up because I used to be goth. And so I was commenting how I used to be goth. And so these are the outfits and the stuff that I would wear. And that my closet is still mostly black, although I have made a conscious effort to have color in my closet. Okay, thank you.
But it's pink. Pink is the color.
True. But, and that's why nobody would believe that I used to be goth, because pink is my color. Pink is my signature color.
Okay, Elle Woods. Okay, look, see, we don't have to get divorced because I know that movie reference. You're
right, and that one is way more important than Austin Powers.
Okay, so we've established that I haven't lived under a rock my entire life.
Okay, so, and in this discussion, I was commenting how, oh, well, then that's perfect reason for me to always wear my black tank top and jeans and black sandals, because I need to be prepared to die at any moment. And that is, it's got to be my ghost outfit. I can't not have this as my ghost outfit.
Can I get my therapist to write that as a work excuse as to why I'm always in pajamas and a hoodie? Sorry, my...
Because you need to be prepared for your ghost outfit.
My client is obsessed with dying and being stuck in a bra for the rest of her life. So she needs to wear this for her anxiety and her mental state.
Yeah.
And her afterlife and her soul, because
bras who wants suck. To be stuck in a bra in the afterlife?
I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm like, oh my God, that's got to be the first circle of hell. I'm convinced. You died with a bra on and you have to wear that for the rest of your life.
Maybe that's what purgatory is.
That's what we live in now.
Welcome to Bad Teacher Tales, real talk stories and advice for teachers and those who love them, where each week we share the good, the bad, and the what the hell of daily teacher life. We'll expose workplace woes that range from unrealistic to impossibly asinine. We'll postulate on parental problems and admin antics. We might even learn a helpful tip or trick. And while we may be bad teachers, we will always leave remembering our why. Those beautiful, bright, baffling students. With your hosts, Scara and Sly. The opinions read in this episode do not necessarily reflect those of the hosts or Bad Teacher Tales. Some language and situations may be unsuitable for children. Ironic, I know. Listener discretion is advised.
Episode 9 from a middle school theater teacher. Folks ain't always what they seem.
True story.
And this teacher is from Houston, Texas. That time, a lead girl's parents didn't show up to opening night, only to find out the reason her ride wasn't there was because on the way to the show, they were busted in a huge multi-state FBI sting for ID theft and credit card fraud in the millions. Yep. The snobbiest... I'm just let you process that for a moment, Sly.
I just need you to know that if there was an emoji that was my face right now, it would be the one with the two eyeballs and no mouth. That is me as an emoji right now. It is just blinking.
You look like the Looney Tune characters when their eyes like bugged out.
I'm usually pretty good at predicting like kind of the direction that this was going. It was not even close.
So let's break that down for a moment, because that was a lot of words in one sentence.
It really was. That was a lot of crimes in one sentence. Let's just back up there.
A huge multi-state FBI sting for ID theft and credit card frauds that went into the millions.
So y'all been busy.
Like, they've been traveling.
You ate your Wheaties for breakfast. Go-getters. No wonder their daughter is the lead in the play. They are a family of go-getters.
Well, it's funny you say that.
Oh, no.
Yep. The snobbiest girl at our middle school who bragged about the vacays and going to a private school for high school. The way it unfolded, our one-act play, public night performance, all the family, even the aunties, which never happens, were a no-show. So then there's nobody to pick up this girl. And I will say that this is pre-cell phone era, so no communication.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so
I forgot there was a time before those. And I lived for that. That's been half my life. It's been a long day, y'all.
It's a good thing you're pretty.
Yep.
So the vice principal and campus cop and I are all in the admin office trying to get an adult on the phone. This girl is calling her whole family, and finally she gets someone who filled her in.
Oh, damn. I don't even know what to say. Like, I feel
like
I
just
both
standing
feel
there.
Bad for this kid because, like, I mean, obviously you had nothing to do with this. But at the same time, yeah, you're also kind of snobby and braggy, and we don't like that either. So
it's like those, it's like the karma that you don't wish upon someone but aren't hating about.
That, yeah, you're just kind of like, yeah, that sucks. But what are we doing this weekend?
Silence from her, silence from us. She's looking more and more upset as they talk. She hangs up and tells us that someone is on their way, and we all wait with her. I had no idea what was going on. The girl didn't say anything. Nothing had been revealed. Just a no-show family. The minute her ride drives off, the VP and cop immediately let out a big sigh and informed me. The FBI sting, which had been planned and coordinated with them for weeks.
No, they were in on it.
They knew. I suppose it was to keep this girl out of the situation in case something went bad.
And because they knew where the parents would be to
come. They probably knew where they were going or heading towards.
Yeah, they're like, hey, they'll be here this date at this time. Oh, that's messed up.
I didn't even think about that. But I mean, also, like, just their job.
I know, but I don't even know what to, wow.
That poor, okay, now I feel a little bit more sorry for this girl.
I mean, like, I do, yeah, but I mean, like, also not, because, like, I feel bad. I feel, honestly, the people I feel bad for are the principal and the VP who had to deal with this, knowing this was happening and not being able to say anything and knowing that they are literally, like, okay, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This whole girl's world is fine. And fast forward 4 hours knowing that this child, her life is never going to be the same. And the fact that you aren't saying anything and you're just like, oh, keep calling people till you find someone who can pick you up.
And knowing why she can't get a hold of everyone.
Be like, oh, yeah, ouch. No, maybe try calling like the last person on your contact list rather than the first. Like maybe skip the first 10 people. And go to number
But how
11,
do you tell
like,
a girl that without saying,
exactly.
I know why?
So you just stand there and going, oh, your mom didn't pick up? Okay, try your dad. Oh, he didn't pick up? Okay, try your uncle.
Like, meanwhile, thinking, I guess they were successful.
Right? And I'm just like, that's the weird, like, it's the weird part. And it's the hard part of our job sometimes is that, like, we have to make the CPS calls. We have to deal with some of that stuff sometimes. I am glad they did not include the theater director,
right?
Because, like,
well,
don't need that stress.
I don't know that she would be able to be a normal human being for that evening.
Well,
and do
obviously
have,
not,
have
so.
The performance, but
yeah, no, I can't be a normal human being there. Ever, let alone what I know or don't know.
My life would be so much less interesting if you were normal.
My life would be less interesting if I was normal too.
You mentioned how we as educators will sometimes, or often, depending on where you work, deal with some of these really bad family situations and the experiences of the students that we teach. And, I mean, I started right at, like, part of where this podcast came from was writing a book about my experiences working in Fifth Ward. And I know that I will be telling more stories from my personal collection about my experience in that neighborhood and teaching at a school there and what I watched some of these students go through. So I do feel for this girl now. It's like you said, it's not her fault.
Yeah.
I mean, her family could have done a better job of keeping her less braggy.
But then you also feel bad because, like, yes, she should not have rubbed it in people's faces that she had all this money and was going on all these trips and stuff. But you also realize now the opposite is going to happen. And all the people that she, I won't say bullied, but all the people she was bragging to, I wouldn't be surprised if they now turned around and started bullying her. Like, oh, where are you going to spring break this year? To visit your parents in jail?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know the bullying is going to come back around in the opposite direction now because kids are just the worst.
The FBI and other law enforcement agencies blocked off the very fancy neighborhood the minute they left the house. They surrounded them and made their arrests. The feds wanted them out of the house first to avoid any unforeseen danger.
Yeah.
Insert possible shootout, I'm guessing. You better bet I bought a newspaper the next morning. Newspapers.
I bet you did. Oh.
Sorry, I got it. I had to comment on
Miss
that.
Miss teacher, what's a newspaper?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, a newspaper is TikTok in written form.
You did not just say that.
How would I tell my students today what a newspaper was in their language? I got it right. Thank you. Okay, moving on.
I'm both appalled and impressed because I'd never thought about that. And I also really, really hate that sentence. TikTok on paper. Jesus. My kids asked me what a CD was the other day. My kids also asked me what a disc jockey was.
Okay.
I'm like, y'all, what are the initials for disc jockey? DJ. And it was like you could see the light bulb go off when they realized it was a DJ. I changed their whole lives. Like, they were that shocked. I'm just like.
Did you explain to them that they also used records?
No.
Okay.
I mean, weren't ready for. They couldn't handle the difference between a recording label or a record label, a recording studio, and a record player. Like, we had to have three very different conversations, and I promise you they did not understand three out of three.
A lot of them understand what a record is because they think it's all retro and cool to own records. That's why there's all these, like, electronic record players you can buy for, like, $30 at Target.
Not the kids in choir. They don't know what a record is. Oh, it hurts.
I saw, oh man, now I really want to find the post, but I don't know who it was. But one of my friends on Facebook, because I'm old.
That was rude.
Shut up.
You just called me old too. So
if I'm going down with the ship, I'm taking you with me. Okay, but somebody posted that, like, a student of theirs or something got super excited because their parent gave them a classic disc player or something, disc man.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh good lord.
I told my students that I played Mario Kart tournaments on the N64 and they're like, you played an N64? I'm like, yeah, I still have mine actually. It's pretty cool. And they're like, they just decided to start calling me N64 like that was an insult. And I'm like, quite frankly, that's pretty cool. They're like, oh, okay, well, then we'll just call you old instead so you get our point. I'm like, y'all are the worst.
All right, there's one more sentence. It's not over.
Oh, how can this get worse?
You better believe I bought a newspaper the next morning, and this was splashed all across the headlines of the Houston Chronicle. I mean, it is a, hold on, let me find it, huge multi-state FBI sting for ID theft and credit card fraud into the millions.
Wow. I kind of want to know, like, what the article said. It's like, if you want to, you know.
Please hold.
Please hold. Please hold.
I am going to give a follow-up, things that work, based on the behavior log that I was talking about a couple episodes ago. I don't remember which episode at this point, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
And for those of you who haven't listened, it is a log. So I have workbooks for my students, and in the front cover of each workbook is a chart, and there's actually three charts. One chart has the restroom or times that they've used the restroom, so I write the date on that chart. Times that they were tardy, I write the date on that chart. And then just a general behavior log, one that I used to keep myself, but now I make the kids keep up with it and not me. And so I have them write like what they did, and I write what their consequence was. And it might be something like, get it signed by your parents. So they have to bring their workbook home, and their parent has to sign their log saying, I see this. Well, this has been working great this semester. I love it. It's helped a lot. But on one day, I should have called home about these two boys and their tomfoolery. And nothing really bad. They were just annoying and at the end of my rope with like low-level things. You know how like they just... They're just seventh grade boys.
I love your level of professionalism, though. Tomfoolery. I'd just straight up their bullshit. Because that's where I'm at.
But it really was. So that's the thing. It really was like, they're not really doing anything that's that bad. It's just constant and annoying. It's like talking and getting up and playing the stupid shadow box or slap box or whatever the thing is.
They're bullshit.
It's. However, I got to a point that I really just got over it this one day. And I'm like, okay, enough. Bring me your workbooks. I'm writing this down. Or no, sorry. You're writing this down. And I was fully prepared to make phone calls or send emails or whatever because it was a Friday. And I'm like, I'm going to ruin your weekend. And in fact, it was a Thursday with a Friday off.
Hey, even better.
And the Monday off. Now that I think about it, it would have been I could have totally ruined a whole big long weekend. However, I had a lot to do that day, and I really did not want to have to take the time to make any phone calls. And as I'm starting to write these in the workbooks, I'm thinking, I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to make the phone calls.
You're going to make the phone calls.
Almost.
Oh.
I told the boys, I said, look, you're lucky. This is your lucky day. I am not going to just assign you a detention and call home. You have until the next time I see you to tell your parents what you have done and have them email me what you have done so you don't get a detention. So now, not only do I not have to take the time, but I'm putting it back on the child and they have to go home and tell their parents.
Yeah.
And they get out of the
detention.
Actual consequence, right? But I can only imagine what it would have to take for me to go and tell my parent, hey, I did all this. And now you have to email my teacher and tell them that I did all this.
I am a terrible parent because I'd be like, oh, okay. And the tagline of my email would be like, my student will still be serving detention. Please let me know when they need to be there. Because that's me as a parent.
Well, I don't think the boys told their parents that they would have a detention if they didn't tell them. Because all I told them is, I just better have an email from your parent by the time I walk into work on Tuesday. And then you won't have to get detention. And Tuesday morning rolls around. Guess what I got?
Two emails?
One email.
Uh-oh.
Ah! And then the boy like begged me. This was today, right? So...
Today's Wednesday. Okay.
Or sorry. Yeah.
No. Today's Tuesday. And today's Wednesday. Don't play with
me. So this was yesterday. Why do I feel like it was today?
Don't play with me.
And so he's like, no. What? Oh, yesterday I had jury duty. So that's I didn't see him. So today
he had an extra day.
And he's like begging me, please just give me one more day. Well, yeah, I'm going to give you one more day because I don't want to write that detention. So here's your extra day. So we'll find out tomorrow if I get a second email. But I got one and I'm loving this option because this is actually the second time I've used it. And I got an email the last time I used it. And I'm like, I'm going to use this all the time now.
So here's me going, that sounds like a great idea. I'm going to start doing that. And then there's me remembering that I literally called home while a child was in my classroom. Hey, your son did A, B, C, D, E, H, G, H, I, F, whatever the letters are that I know I just am 37 and didn't say the first 10 letters of the alphabet correctly. For him to literally pick up on the phone and go, Mom, I don't know what she's talking about. I didn't do any of that. What? Do you? What? So you're just going to? No.
So when I worked at your school, I had a phone call script, which I still have. I just haven't needed to use.
Please email.
You may have it. And I will also post it for all of our listeners on my Facebook group. And it is just a, they can basically, so they fill out the information and then they call home and they read the script. And I have to prove it first, but hi, Mom, it's me. I'm calling because I did this. And now this is my consequence. Whatever the consequence is, whether it's detention or just I'm having to call you. And that's what I used to use. But I had too much going on. And I just don't like, I don't know what it is about parent phone calls. I just do not like them. I think it's a social anxiety thing.
It is. And it's because you never know how and like, I think had we been teachers 20 years ago, like when we were in school, which that sentence feels gross, that it wouldn't have been a problem because you knew 99% of the time when you called home, that parent was going to have your back and be like, all right, I'm going to get my kid. They're going to act better tomorrow, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and 100%, I have a different population now than you have, and I understand both of them. And I understand that for these students, the anxiety of knowing that they're going to have to go home and tell their parents they were bullshitting around in class with their tomfoolery. You're welcome.
I can't.
Will be
shenanigans.
Will be enough of a punishment in itself.
And that's good.
And these boys in particular, like my response email to this parent was, thank you for the email. You've got a great kid. He really is a great student. I just don't want him to get farther off track than what he's been doing lately. And he's a social seventh grade boy.
AKA, like, I ain't here for the bullshit.
So he's not that they're bad kids in any way, but they just got annoying and I was fed up. And
yeah.
This is where we're at. But back to the things that work.
It comes down to know your audience.
It is. It does. It does. But my things that work is make the kids tell their parents what they did and make the parents do the work to follow up. Sorry, parents. That's on you.
Thank you for listening to Bad Teacher Tales. If you enjoyed this content, consider supporting us on Patreon or contribute a one-time payment to help offset monthly costs, as this is a self-produced, directed, edited, and funded production. Information and links are located in the show notes. Any support is appreciated. To submit a story for consideration, follow the link in the episode notes to the Google form. All submissions are anonymous to our listeners. For podcast updates or to interact with the host, join the Facebook group, Bad Teacher Tales-Podcast, or follow on Instagram and X at Bad Teacher Tales. Scara is a lifelong learner and educator. Recently becoming a National Board Certified Teacher, Scara serves as the Fine Arts Department Head, Head Theater Director, Dance Team, and Pep Squad Coach for her middle school. At the district level, Scara is a new teacher mentor, has written theater curriculum, and facilitates the annual Tech Design Contest. Sly has been an educator for over a decade. She has taught music ranging from pre-K to high school. Playing the bell set in fourth grade sparked a deep excitement to learn other instruments and join band in the fifth grade. She became proficient at multiple instruments throughout her years in school. Upon realizing band was the reason she showed up for school, Sly found her path, never dreaming she'd end up a choir teacher, but truly enjoying it.